You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 14th, 2020, and Joe Biden's got it. He finally got the endorsement he wanted. He kept saying, I don't need it. I can do it myself. And I guess he could say at this point, I did do it myself, but now he also has the endorsement of former President Barack Obama. The former president, an 11-minute video clip. No questions asked, not a meeting with news conference, just send the clip out. Says basically, I'm with Joe. He has all the qualities we need in a president right now. And here we go. As you have watched the battles in Congress over the stimulus package money and how the Democrats refused to add another $250 billion just a week ago when they fought back, said we're not going to do it, when all they were told is, look, just pass a clean $250 billion tack on to what you've already done with $350 billion to make sure we take care of small business America. But the Democrats wanted to shove it full of their pie-in-the-sky dreams. And so it did not work out. There's a new poll that shows you exactly what they're trying to do. A new poll by Ipsos found that 3 in 5 Democrats want taxpayers to also bail out poverty-stricken communities of illegals. These are illegals who are undocumented, who can't work because of businesses being shut down or because they're sick with coronavirus. I can have empathy for them, but let's take care of Americans first. But the Democrats, they count illegals as more valuable than Americans. We had told you previously, you start releasing inmates out of the jails, you're going to have another big problem. And yet, for some reason, some of these idiots on the left thought, well, look, we've got folks confined in jails, and they can't keep 6-foot distance. So for coronavirus purposes, we're going to let some folks out of jail and let them go free early. So thousands of nonviolent inmates released from jails in Los Angeles County. And now, the county sheriff says, I'm worried about a spike in crime. You think? Carnival Cruise Lines deciding we're not going to be able to open up as soon as we were hoping. They're suspending all cruises through at least June 26, canceling others through the end of 2020 altogether. Cruise lines are going to be very difficult to get back in business because once you're on one of those cruise ships, as we've seen, you don't get to your destination within an hour or 2 hours and you get off and go on your way. You're stuck on that ship. And if someone comes down sick, you're on there for days, maybe weeks. In Michigan, the citizens, thank God, are standing up against their governor, Gretchen Whitmer, accusing her of gross negligence and failure to handle the coronavirus pandemic. They have a recall petition with more than 1 million signatures on it already. Why? Well, because they say she has been doing nothing while our citizens got sick. She fought against President Trump. She fought against anything and everything, saying if it came out of the White House, it's not good. And they're saying her priorities are no longer the priority in the health of Michigan residents. This coronavirus is striking across several business sectors, and that's the problem when it comes to trying to restart the nation. Coronavirus killing at least 30 food and retail workers, according to the unions. And they say their workers obviously deeply concerned. New York City alone, just in New York City, 50 education workers, teachers, administrators, all dying from coronavirus. And also now word coming out, pregnant women are getting coronavirus without showing symptoms. And then another story showing that coronavirus spreading from a dead body. A forensic professional in Thailand believed the first to catch COVID-19 from a dead body. And then you got the Virginia pastor who refused to shut down his church congregation. He said back on March 22nd, we're going to have my church service. We're not going to care about the Virginia law about no gatherings of more than 10 people. He said, I firmly believe that God is larger than this dreaded virus. You can quote me on that. I'm essential. I preach. I talk to God. He came down with coronavirus and passed away Sunday. He'll be talking to God a little closer now. I think it's a matter of God still says you need wisdom. The Virginia pastor is getting his reward.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On January 17th, the CDC began implementing public health entry screenings at three major U.S. airports that received the greatest volume of passengers from Wuhan at my instructions. There was not a single case of the coronavirus in the United States. So on January 17th, there wasn't a case, and the fake news is saying, oh, he didn't act fast enough. Well, you remember what happened, because when I did act, I was criticized by Nancy Pelosi, by Sleepy Joe Biden. I was criticized by everybody. In fact, I was called xenophobic.
President Trump, yesterday in addressing the White House press corps, said, let's set the record straight on the timeline for everything, because you guys don't want to stick with a record. You want to kind of insert dates, twist them around, dally a little bit of this in front of the public, make this appear to be bigger than it is and wrong, and no one's calling you into account. So he started going through a timeline and laying this out. And he got criticized for it. We're going to spend a lot of time on this in this hour, and I'm going to spend more in a couple segments from now. But the point being is that he said, I think it's time the American public get a clear understanding of what's been going on, because you guys aren't doing your job. Let me note some points here. January the 20th was the first reported case in the U.S., January 20th. Now, it had already been in China, we know in December, probably for weeks before that time, and China's attitude was, it's no big deal, it's not transmitted person to person. And they weren't giving any alarm whatsoever. And they were telling the World Health Organization, it cannot be transmitted person to person. That's what we had to operate on, although we had suspicions. And when the CDC said, look, let us send some our experts over to work with you to help identify it and get some verification. No, China said, we will take care of it ourselves. We know what we're talking about. So we were stuck. That was in December even. And then going into January, still, China was balking at any outside experts coming in. So the first reported case we had in the U.S. was January 20. January 31, Trump issued the travel ban on China. He did that within a day or 2 days after getting information from Senator Cotton and a couple others as to what they feared. So he took that action on January 31, and he's right. He got accused, he got mocked as to, you know, you're so stupid, you know, you're going to make everybody get in a panic and there's no reason to be. Nancy Pelosi even saying, I'll still go to Chinatown and have a Chinese dinner. And also they were saying, by doing that, you're not only xenophobic, you're going to create a dangerous situation for Chinese or any Asians or Koreans of those part of the world living in our country here. They'll take them all as a victim. I mean, they'll take them all as contributing to this virus. January 20, first reported case in the U.S. January 31, Trump issues a travel ban on China. Feb 6, CDC begins to ship out testing kits. Now, this was a bureaucratic snafu, which we hopefully have learned. CDC wanted to control the testing kits and wanted to make sure that they were being administered properly and handled properly, and they should have broken through that barrier and said, get them out to anyone, everyone right away. So there was a problem at that point. But that's the bureaucratic red tape that's been there forever. The president was already busy cutting through a lot of it, even to the extent of talking about the hydrochloroquine drug, saying it's not approved for this particular thing. It's an old malaria drug, but some doctors say it might be of value. So I'm telling the FDA, loosen restrictions, let them use it as needed, and any other drugs we can get to the market as fast as possible. And that still wasn't good enough for some of the leftists, saying you're dragging your feet, you're not helping. But that was February 6th. March 22nd, Trump bans flights from Europe. Now we're realizing a lot of the cases coming into the U.S. are not coming directly out of China. They're coming through Europe. And in fact, a more recent study has since found, looking at four boroughs of New York City, most of the cases in the New York area are out of Europe, not China directly. On the West Coast, California, Washington State, most of their cases were direct out of China. So the president, January 10, bans travel ban from China. March 22nd, puts a ban on European flights. March 31st, the president declares a national emergency. March 31st. And the attitude of the left was still that we don't have anything to worry about. The president just is confused. He doesn't know what's involved here. And Nancy Pelosi, even in a call with some of her colleagues yesterday, was talking about the administration's delay in getting testing and supplies. She said it was almost sinful. It wasn't that he was holding it back. The CDC did. And once they began to realize we need these get out quicker, they did. Everyone has some reason here to be questioning. And everyone here has a part of any blame on either side. But part of it is also just the system. But what gets me is that the left will absolutely, in the greatest act of hypocrisy, overlook their attitude that even while the president was taking those steps early and they were denouncing and mocking him, that now they have the gall to stand up and say, you didn't act fast enough. You didn't do what you needed to do to protect our nation. Well, I'm going to replay for you what we did the other day. And this is available at Larry Connors USA Facebook, by the way. A collection of sound bites, New York City officials, some elected officials. You hear Nancy Pelosi from Chinatown and San Francisco on here. And all of them, and their attitude was, even as the president had banned the flights January 31 out of China, they were still saying, they were mocking. Well, let me put it this way. They're absolutely mocking the president, saying, you don't need to worry about this virus. Just listen.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low.
And our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
There's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are a hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life.
And certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need to be honest about the American people. With the American people about the fact that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right, because this is New York and you're in elevators and trains with everybody all the time.
Yeah. Now, you know, and listen, every one of those was a Democrat, a leader in some cases, elected and or appointed, and they're all telling their constituency and their supporters, you don't need to worry about this stuff. And it's a lie. It hangs in the air. Well, we know now that's not true. It does. And it can be spread in the air 15, 30 feet away from someone. And when it does fall, it lands on your shoe, maybe, and maybe you track it into your home later. Or you catch it off your shoe. When you take your shoe off, it gets on your hand, and then you put your hand near your face or your eyes. I can't fault them for their remarks at that time because they were also unaware of how bad and how fast this stuff could spread. See, I'm willing to grant them that understanding that they were operated with the knowledge they had at that time. They will not give the same mercy and acceptance to President Trump. And he was gathering details as fast as he could to get them out. And when he took some action, such as stopping the flights from China, they went on attack. Because that just, you know, that's what you'd expect. He doesn't like brown people. He's worried about the brown menace out of Mexico. He's worried about yellow people. It was that attitude. All of it to politicize this, to use it as a weapon against him in the election coming up. And at the time those Democrats were making those remarks, they didn't know half of what they were indicating. They thought they did. And what they were saying in some cases was absolutely wrong. But that's what they were being told, and so they were parroting it. But then when it continues now, with the knowledge we have in front of us, is anyone going to hold them accountable? Is anyone going to hold their feet to the fire and say, I could see where you had that thought previously. But now, based on what we said, how can you stand there and attack Trump and mock him and claim he didn't do enough fast enough when you were among the ones saying, no big deal, no big deal? Nancy Pelosi again. In a phone call with House Democrats yesterday, she claimed now Trump is planning to put Americans in danger by rushing to bring life back to normal and end social distancing guidelines. Nancy Pelosi, who stood in the street surrounded by reporters in San Francisco, said, come have Chinese dinner with me. I'm not worried about this virus. And now we know that you do need social distancing. and she was surrounded by reporters at that point. Now she's saying, well, the president's getting ready to end social distancing and put us at risk again because he's anxious to get the economy going. Well, so are the blue state governors, Nancy. We all want to see our economy get restarted. But the side part for the Democrats, and the sad part as well, the longer the economy suffers, you suffer. The more points they think they can make on the back of Donald Trump. I submit to you that they're making political points on the coffins of Americans who died of coronavirus. The president did what he did as he did it. They mocked him. Too slow. And if he had decided when word first began to come out of China, if he decided to shut everything down then, they would say there was no reason for it. By the time he did make the decision, it had already gotten inside the country. That is why we had to escalate everything. And now he wants to restart the economy, and you got Nancy Pelosi and the others still mocking him. I got to take a break, but I want to come back and pick up this point. I want to go back to something else that I mentioned in news and commentary about some leftist idea that thought it would make the country safer, and it's made it worse. Please stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, let me focus again on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as she continues her rant and attack against President Trump. Speaking to members of the House in a phone call yesterday, she said the president is going to put Americans in danger because he wants to rush life back to normal, and he's going to end social distancing guidelines way too early. Well, how does she know, first of all, he's going to do it? She doesn't. But she's saying when he does, he'll be doing it too soon. My friend, you know if he said we're not going to open the country until January 1, 2021, it would be too soon as some people still die after that. And, of course, it's going to be too late for everyone else anyway. But the attitude of the left is whatever he does is going to be wrong. And she says that his coronavirus response, quote, is almost sinful. Almost sinful. She added, the more misrepresentation he puts out there, the more it obscures the truth. She said, we have to insist upon the truth. What they're saying is not knowledge, it's not facts, it's not real. Let me repeat that. What Trump is saying is not knowledge, not facts, not real. So what was Nancy Pelosi relying on when it came to knowledge, facts, or reality when she made this statement?
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
Yeah. Don't need social distancing. Now, she did that before social distancing guidelines were put into effect fully, and we began to get a better handle on what was happening. And I can understand, Nancy, you didn't know. I understand that. Trump understands that to loosen this too soon could be creating another disaster. He certainly knows that. He's already made it clear that this might be one of the biggest decisions I'll make as president. Pretty easy to shut everything down. but then deciding when to reopen. But when he reopens and when things start again, and there will be additional deaths and illnesses, and there will be, once again, they'll come around and blame him. As Nancy says, his response was almost sinful. And yet she was in the center of the streets in San Francisco saying, come on out, let's have lunch. We don't need to worry about being distant from each other. Has she since apologized? Has she since said, you know, maybe I was wrong? No. In news and commentary, I mentioned to you earlier that in L.A. they have released 25% of the county inmate population. 25%, taking those considered not to be vicious offenders and let them out because they didn't want them to come down with coronavirus. And yet they found that 11 of some of those, at least 11, tested positive for coronavirus. Were they better off in jail, at least as far as the general public, than now being free to go about the country? But the leftist attitude is, well, open the doors to the jail cell. Let these folks out so they can get away from anybody that might have coronavirus. Or the other side of that is, so then they can go out and infect others who don't have it. Or go out and commit crimes again. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to break down more details of what President Trump put right in the face of the mainstream media yesterday. And they dared call it propaganda.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
On January 21st, the CDC activated an emergency operations center. There was just one case, one person. That's why that ad was such a phony. There was one person in the United States. You know, they usually hear there's only one person. That statement was made at that time. One case in the whole United States, one case. I'm supposed to shut down the government, the biggest economy in the history of the world. Shut it down. We have one case.
One case. January 20th. That's President Trump yesterday addressing the press corps in the White House briefing room. He said, I want to lay some things out in front of you guys. I mean, you continue to attack me. You ignore the facts. Well, I'm going to put them right back in your face. January 20th, first reported case in the U.S. January 31, he banned the flights in from China. Feb 6, CDC began shipping out testing kits. There is a flaw there. Those kits were going out too late, and they were under control of the CDC when we just needed to get them dumped across the states and let the states take care of it. CDC, that's changed since then. March 22nd, the president decided to ban European flights coming in. And March 13th, he declared a national emergency. He was doing all of this. And what did he get in response from the mainstream media and the leftists? Mocking, giggling, pointing at him as if his fly were open. No, really, really, whatever he can do to mock him, make fun of him. Because that's their game. president points out, what he had to deal with, what he saw and what he was getting information-wise, and then has to, how do we handle it in this nation and keep the economy and everything going? At what point do I have to pull the trigger and say, shut everything down until we get control of this? But they don't want to hear that. If it were any other president, I think they would kind of buy and go into. I do believe, and I certainly will say, if Obama were in the White House and this kind of event had unfolded, I think it would be an entirely different reaction, and you know it and I know it. But again, President Trump addressing the group yesterday.
January 31st, in the United States, not one person had died because of the, again, the Wuhan virus. So I issued travel restrictions on that date, even though nobody died, and I got brutalized over it by the press. Then, first mandatory quarantine in more than 50 years, we did. First mandatory in 50 years. The same restrictions that the Democrats and the media called xenophobic. Now, Joe Biden said he's a racist. Call me a racist because I said we're shutting down entry from China. We're shutting it down. He called me xenophobic and he called me a racist and other things.
That's exactly right. Biden and the rest of them, they were looking for a way to, what do we do to, you know, he shut things down. Now we got to blame him for something else. And then you got the story with Nancy Pelosi as to what she was doing at that point and continues to do. I mean, this is a key point here, because Nancy is misrepresenting everything there is to misrepresent in this case. Mocking Trump because he claiming that he acted too late, and yet based on the timeline we laid out, when would he have acted based on what he had? But if he had acted even earlier, they would be mocking that. So Trump, in talking about Pelosi, he made it very clear where that situation was going.
In February, Nancy Pelosi said we should come to Chinatown. This is late February. Come to Chinatown. We think it's very safe. Come here. Let's all have the big parade.
And we're going to hear a clip from Nancy on that in a moment. We had it earlier. Now it's worth hearing again. Her and some of the other Democrat leaders who are saying, we know what's best for the country. This man doesn't. And then he began to play in front of the media assembled in the White House press room. News clips. They were edited together just to bring them together, and they were edited. If they were cut down, it was to keep some time, but the context was not lost. Not one person had been able to come forward and say they were misedited. They were done in such a way to make them look out of context when they're saying something they didn't say. No, because what it was the exact replay as it appeared on the national media as they were presenting it. And this piece of video, or this audio you're going to listen to, has folks on there, several governors, including Cuomo, Newsom of California, and other political leaders and appointed elected, and all of them are basically saying, you don't have to worry about some of this stuff, but this is what was being done by the press at that point.
His team is on it. They've been responsive late at night, early in the morning, and they've thus far been doing everything that they can do, and I want to say thank you, and I want to say that I appreciate it.
He returns calls. He reaches out. He's been proactive. We got that mercy ship down here in Los Angeles. That was directly because he sent it down here. 2,000 medical units came to the state of California, these FMS, these field medical stations. And that's been very, very helpful.
The president has been outstanding through all this. The vice president's been outstanding. Members of the coronavirus task force, very responsive.
We had asked if we could have, New Jersey could have access to a piece of the
beds that are on the USNS Comfort. And the president came back, called me a short few minutes before I walked in here to say indeed they would grant that to New Jersey. So that's a big step for us in addition to all the other capacity. That news is literally hot off the press, and I thank the president and vice president who are on the call together.
President Trump approved Arizona's request for a presidential major disaster declaration. I want to thank the president for a quick turnaround. We requested this on a Wednesday, and we had approval by Saturday morning. And we are grateful to the administration for their continued support and responsiveness.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the president, the vice president, for doing a really good job of communicating with all the governors.
All of those sound bites from elected officials, Democrats, praising Trump for what he was doing in the midst of this crisis and helping them and their states and their constituency, delivering what they needed when they needed it. And you know what the response was from the mainstream media sitting then there? Was to call it propaganda. In fact, listen to the question that came from one of the reporters after watching all of this.
So I've never seen a video like that played in this room. It looks a bit like a campaign ad. Who produced that video for you?
That was done by a group in the office, and it was done just by, we just put some clips together. I could give you, I'll bet you I have over 100 more clips, even better than them. They were just pieced together over the last 2 hours. That was just, oh, we have far better than that. That's nothing compared to Samba.
This was produced here in the White House.
Yeah, this was done by Dan and a group of people, and they just put it together in a period of probably less than 2 hours.
Why do you feel need to do that?
Because we're getting fake news, and I like to have it corrected.
Yeah, because you put it out there. It came off of your broadcast. Your broadcast. And now that he feeds it back to you, it's propaganda. I thought it was off your news broadcast. Well, let's once again go back in history and a collection of these Democrats who were out there saying we don't need to worry about coronavirus, that Trump is doing everything wrong when he was doing the best he could with what he had.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low.
And our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
But there's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are a hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life,
and certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need to be honest about the American people, with the American people about the fact that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right, because this is New York, and you're in elevators and trains with everybody all the time.
That's more propaganda. It's more material right off the mainstream media. And the president could have run that as well in front of them. You want to see that and share it with some of your friends, it's at Larry Connors USA Facebook. We'll pin it to the top of the page so you can take that clip and put it right back in their face. Say, look at what your Democrat friends were saying while the president was doing what he could to start protecting our nation. Oh, I'm not done with this subject. Not by far. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yeah, the mainstream media went ballistic yesterday as the president played back some of their own news accounts about the virus and the good things he's been doing. When all of these elected officials, Democrats, blue-collar governors, blue state governors, and blue city governors, mayors, I should say, praising Trump for what he had done, and he played it back in front of the press yesterday. And one of the reporters said, "And all this time covering it, I've never seen anything like that. Why would you do it?" He said, "Because I want to set the record straight." John King on the CNN Situation Room said the president has every right to defend himself. He wanted a few key points. He's correct to do that. He said, "But I spent 9.5 years in that building, many of them working with the Clinton and Bush administration, and what we saw, that was propaganda. Propaganda! Not just a campaign video, propaganda aired in the briefing room, selective, cherry-picked information." They did cherry-pick information to show you the support the president has had from Democrat governors and mayors and others for what he's doing to help them and the nation. That was cherry-picked. It appeared on their air at some point. But here you had John King saying, "To play a propaganda video at taxpayer expense in the White House briefing room is a new, you can insert your favorite word, from this administration. To me, it's just plain propaganda." It's propaganda when it comes from the White House. When it comes from the Democrat-controlled media, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. And today, finally, Joe Biden got what he's needed. He needed it in the getting to carry the Democrat banner, but he was able to get the banner that he's going to carry forward from the convention without this endorsement. And now we'll see if it's going to help him in the general. I think not, but today, former President Obama finally spoke about Joe.
"There's one thing we've learned as a country from moments of great crisis. It's that the spirit of looking out for one another can't be restricted to our homes or our workplaces or our neighborhoods or our houses of worship. It also has to be reflected in our national government. The kind of leadership that's guided by knowledge and experience, honesty and humility, empathy and grace. That kind of leadership doesn't just belong in our state capitals and mayor's offices. It belongs in the White House. And that's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for President of the United States. And I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now."
Yes, the same Joe Biden who that the day President Trump decided we need to stop flights coming from China for fear of coronavirus, labeled it xenophobic and racist. The same Joe Biden. I mentioned in news and commentary earlier that pregnant women are getting coronavirus and they're not showing any symptoms. Some research looking at 200-plus births in a medical center in the New York area. Nearly all the women receiving testing and 33 tested positive for COVID-19 but had no symptoms. Pregnant women carrying the COVID-19 not knowing it. And then from Washington State, 27-year-old woman, 33 weeks pregnant, finds out she has COVID-19. 8 days later, she's placed on a ventilator in a medically induced coma. Still carrying her baby. Doctors decide the only way to save the woman and the baby, or maybe one of them, or maybe in the end not save either one, is to put her in a medically induced coma. When the coma came to an end, she says, "I wasn't sure where I was. I was confused. I didn't have my belly anymore. I didn't know where my baby was. I was in isolation. I couldn't see my husband. He couldn't come in and see me. And, of course, her great concern and fear was, where's my baby? I had COVID-19. They put me in a coma. Not knowing if it's going to save the baby or her or neither. She's still in isolation. But she knows now the baby also survived. Mom and baby being watched and treated. That's a happy ending to a story that could have had a tragic ending. If you know someone who's pregnant, urge that they take special precautions at this time. As always, I appreciate your listening. I also appreciate you supporting the sponsors for this program. And based, of course, upon Obama's statement today to endorse Joe Biden, I've already booked Dr. Gerard Lamero for the program for tomorrow to get his take on that endorsement. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.